now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fess and Tanya.
Welcome to episode 17 of the Webcomic Beacon. This week we are approaching our webcomic brainstorm sessions once again. And in the studio we have Tanya, my co-host. And she's of betaporn.com. And also with us we have Eric of xern.com. Welcome.
Hello. Also go by the name of Dramos.
Yep. We also have going down the list.
Patience is already here.
Going down the list, we have Tomcat of, I keep forgetting what you do.
Crossworlds.
Crossworlds.ws.
Welcome. And of course, Gothia.
You're not.
I'm not. And of course, Gothia. Of AmericanGothic.comicGenesis.com.
Yep. That's
buy a domain name, by the way, please.
Yeah. They're only like $8 in GoDaddy.
Oh, I've already bought server space. I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, but my tech person is working on it. So everything's going to switch over sooner or later, probably later. We're a lazy bunch.
Okay. Last we left off on the webcomic brainstorm sessions, we were muttering about this and that and the other thing. I forget totally. But today we're going to actually we're going to pin some stuff down and get to it because we've really, really got to structure up.
Yep. General idea, just to expand upon this, we're going to pin some stuff down. We've got a lot of ideas, and we're now at the stage where we actually have to sort of decide and decide which ideas we like, which ideas we don't like. In the unlikely role of stenographer will be me, Eric. I'll be writing stuff down and reading back what we say, and we're just going to go through and very quickly create a number of characters that are going to be used in our story. So I thought we could start off with our waitress character and just start talking about some of her attributes and the way we want her to be, her characteristics. Is that okay with everyone?
Works for me.
Sounds good.
Works for me.
Okay. So, let's start off with the toughest thing ever, name.
Pauline.
Anyone have any ideas on the name?
Well, we need something appropriate for the time period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we stated that this is going to be 1920 Chicago, so we'd want something a little more old-fashioned or possibly something with an ethnic sound from someone who, maybe she's the daughter or granddaughter of an immigrant.
Okay.
I mean, personally, since this is Chicago, there's going to be a high Irish content, so I was thinking something like Bridget.
Ah.
Bridget?
Yeah.
I actually like Bridget. Bridget has a nice ring to it.
I
love Bridget. It's one of my characters in my comic I'm working on now.
Okay. So we are now writing down Bridget.
I just had Pauline as one that was in my head, but Bridget also works.
What'd you say?
Pauline.
Pauline. Actually, I like Pauline better.
Really?
I think Bridget's overdone sometimes.
I don't know. Pauline sounds a little too perilous for me.
Oh, that makes me think of, you know, Polly Girl Beer.
It might be a little bit too New York of a name, though.
Well, we will come back to this. We'll say Bridget or Pauline.
All right.
And
she's in her mid-20s, I think we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 20. Okay. We were saying she's not unattractive, but not attractive. Sort of plain looking.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay. Now, what other characteristics can we describe about her? Is she forward? Is she shy? What flaws does she have? What strengths? Strengths, we said she was very smart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And well-read, right?
Yes.
Right, very learned.
Well, being a waitress, you can't be too shy, but she may be a little bit private about her personal life.
Okay, so she's private.
Right.
Which is why she's working as a waitress rather than going out and doing something else as well, because she likes to hide behind the anonymity of her, the position, as opposed to being forefront and going for a detective job or something like that, even during the time period.
Right.
So we're saying, is she superficially? Is she superficial when she talks to you? Is that what we're saying?
I think we
discussed in the past that she had to have a certain amount of warmth to her,
mm-hmm.
So that people think she's sincere when they talk to her as a waitress. I know we discussed that before, and I think one of the things I really want to bring up again is that she really needs to be a master of subtlety.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying about guarded. I mean, she has no problem talking with people, but she has a problem with letting people into her. Explaining some of her background, letting people know who she is.
Well, I think there's a certain level of superficiality. You don't necessarily get to know anybody that comes in, but, you still come across very friendly, very open.
So we have genuine warmth and friendly, but she's mm-hmm. also private and guarded. And she's subtle.
Yes.
Is that a good description of the character?
I think it's definitely good enough to start with.
Uh-huh.
A lot of character development happens, as you go as well.
Yep.
And the story dictates where the character develops.
Yep.
She still needs a decent character flaw, but we may be able to come back to that.
Well, yeah, do we want to talk about any of her flaws at this point?
No.
We talked about her strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Need to know who, but in my own opinion, we need to know who she is before we can start writing her.
Right.
And that means warts and all.
Yep.
All right.
But do we want to go through the list of characters first before really getting in that much depth?
I think it'd be funny to make her a kleptomaniac, but for the restaurant would be bad.
Well, I mean,
kleptomaniac. I can see the story now. I know who the thief is. It's me. No.
I don't think kleptomaniac works, but I think that's where we're going. That's
joking,
the sort of idea
God,
we're going
take
to.
It too seriously.
Why not make her a pyromaniac as well? She's such a pretty fire.
I can see that.
Well, I mean, just to go through a couple of the classic flaws, I mean, there is sort of klutziness, there is, danger prone sort of thing, there is social anxieties, there are fears. There is aggressiveness.
Curiosity.
Curiosity.
Let's just make it something really, funny, like there's always a run in her pantyhose.
What?
that's not a real
it's
character defined. That's
probably the only pair she has.
Well, she drew them on.
Yeah,
that was definitely really common, too.
Yeah, that was something they did during the 40s, so yeah, it's very possible.
I didn't catch that. What?
they used
during
to draw
the 40s
on,
when,
yeah, they, yeah, they draw the seam in the back to make it
because
look like
nylon was
they
at such
afford.
A scarcity at the time.
Yeah.
They're used in gas masks and such.
Yep.
Gas masks?
Well, for the
that's
war.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Anyway.
I mean, do we say she's a little bit paranoid? Is that a defining characteristic? A flaw?
Well, I mean, considering her profession and what we described her father as, I would say that a little paranoid would be healthy, but it's not to a portion. She's a little worried, and that's why she's reserved, because she doesn't want to let anybody get too close, because if they find out her secret, you know, something bad could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think this social distance is one of the flaws we have, is that she keeps people at arm's length, and she's, I mean, can we say socially awkward and keeps people at a distance for flaws?
Well, she appears to be socially awkward. You know, that could be part of a mask.
Well, we got to decide. Is she actually socially awkward, or is she appearing to be socially awkward?
I don't think
she should appear to be socially awkward, and I'll tell you why. Because as a waitress, that's not going to get you tips, that's not going to get you close to the criminals, that's not going to get you close to the people that come in as your clients. If there's anything, I suggest that she has maybe an internal feeling that she's socially awkward, that she does not like herself, and that she doesn't
she's a little neurotic.
Herself as fitting in.
Actually, that sounds good. I mean, because of the period, I mean, because of the person that she is there. She has severe feelings of inadequacy. You know, she'll never measure up to her father. Yeah. She'll never be. You know, she'll never be the police officer or the detective that he was.
She'll never be the son he never had.
Bingo. She'll never measure up.
But what about in addition to what I was trying to say earlier? Obviously, some of the things we were saying doesn't really work good for a waitress. But maybe in that element, in that comfortable environment, that she's able to do that. But maybe she's a little bit more awkward and more reserved if she's like outside, not working. Like maybe she's a little bit more cold and more to herself when she's not at work.
She doesn't have a reason to be when she doesn't have a reason to be bubbly and personable. Then maybe those anxieties take over a little more.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of how I saw the character as sort of when she's in her element, when she's doing her thing. She's very gregarious and sort of friendly, but as soon as she's outside of her comfort zone, she sort of shuts down. I mean that was sort of how I envisioned her. And I mean, since we were also talking about romances going on here, I sort of like that kind of character that as soon as she got outside of that place where she felt comfortable, she sort of pulled back.
Right.
Well, it adds a level of vulnerability that's good in any romance, yeah.
Do we have enough to move on to the next character?
I think, let me just go through what we said here.
Okay.
And we should move on.
Right.
We have a waitress named Bridget or Pauline. We will figure that out later. 20s. Plain, attractive, but not overly so. She's smart, well-read, learned. She is private, but generally warm, and she's very subtle in her actions. Her flaws are that she has low self-esteem and lots of feelings of inadequacy, and when she's outside of her comfort zone, when something is not quite right, it doesn't go quite well, she withdraws.
Sounds good.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go on to our detective then.
Right. Harvey.
Harvey.
I don't know.
He's imaginary.
Harvey.
Harvey.
How are people feeling, Harvey?
Harvey, not very romantic.
Actually, I kind of like it.
I don't know.
It gives him
I'm sorry, but someday down the road, if there's ever a kissing scene, I just can't see this. Oh, Harvey.
No. She would call him Harv. That'd be Harv.
She'd call him Harv.
Harv.
I was hoping for a more... I was hoping for a more gumshoe name of Dirk or, you know, quick...
Okay, we can't have Dirk.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not seeing Dirk. But
Private Dirk.
It's been done.
Good old Jack.
Dirk Pitts. Yeah.
No, not Jack. Jack is way too common.
What about something a little more traditional, like, say, Christopher?
Joseph.
I mean, again, going with the time period and the place, you know, a lot of cops, Irish cops on the force. I mean, Joseph is a good Catholic name.
I like Joseph. Joseph works.
I like Joseph.
That's the reason I was thinking Christopher, because of the St. Christopher Medallion, the patron saint of those who protect
right.
the law.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that'd give a subtle impetus to him.
I think what's going to be more important than his first name, though, is going to be his last name.
Because they use detective's last name.
You're going to hear a lot of, whatever his last name is. Hey, Murphy. Joe Murphy. Hey, Murphy. Whatever. that last name is going to be real important.
Murphy sounds
very common Irish name.
Sounds very common. I'm going to Google Irish last name. Yeah, so let's see.
Well, actually,
I have an Irish last name.
I say let's use Murphy. It's a good traditional name, and it gives a harken over to a nod to some of the old gumshoe stories. Just make it Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not going to be like stepping on some other detective Murphy. I mean, it sounds like it might have been done before. That's my only thing. It sounds common enough.
Has been done before. I mean, Murphy was always the beat cop. So this is going to be a Murphy who's made good by making detective. He's no longer just the plainclothes, no longer the uniformed officer. He's made it up to detective. So this is, it's harkening back to the police officer Murphy, but gives a little added step to it as well.
He's a step ahead.
Yep. Well, already then.
I like Joe Mercy. It's got that Johnny Dollar sort of feel to it, which I like. So we will say pending approval of a Wikipedia search, making sure there isn't another one around. We'll say Joe Mercy, and we can always come back to it. How old are we saying he is? 20s, 30s? What do we say for age?
I think traditionally
he needs to be older than her.
Older.
Over than 30.
He'd have to be 40s, 30. I would think.
40?
To be Irish and make 40? Detective? 40? I think
40. Yeah. 35. I don't know.
It feels young to me for the time frame. I mean, there was still a lot of discrimination, even within the police force, against Irish beat cops. I don't know. It feels young.
Well, 20 to 40, this is a 20-year difference between our two characters, which are trying to get romantically involved. That's the only thing. Would that happen in this time?
It was the 20s. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We can explain away age. I mean, he could be 22 and be a detective because he has familial connections. Even though he's clean, his family would have no problem using it.
We don't even have to come up with an exact age, as long as we come up with a drawn character face. And, that's what we're looking for, is that chiseled, manly chin,
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, not grizzled.
Face doesn't come out of a 22-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he needs to be around 30, but, I mean, it needs to be the traditional good-looking type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Cary Grant type, as opposed to a Humphrey Bogart type.
Would he be like clean shaven, scruffy, or would he have like a mustache or beard?
He needs to be clean shaven we're going to be portraying him as the quote clean cop.
Okay,
he's going to be the one that isn't on the take. So using the visual metaphor of being clean shaven to go along with it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be the Dick Tracy type, the nice London fog, long coat, dress coat, suit, tie, cufflinks,
glasses,
shine shoes, nice
hat. Is he a snappy dresser, or is he sort of...
No, that's the average dress of the time. That's the average dress of the time. Gentlemen wore, an undershirt under their button-down.
But here's the thing. There are people who go to work and put on the clothes because they have to, and people who put on the clothes because they like to. And you can tell the difference by looking at them in an instant. There's someone who is wearing a suit and tie because they were told they had to wear a suit and tie, and they would much rather come in to work in a bathrobe. And there is someone who really takes time in their appearance. Is he the type of guy who takes time in his appearance? Or is he sort
Absolutely.
Of a guy who just throws something on?
I
would say
use him to be real glamorous. I kind of imagine him to be gritty. He's a hardened, seasoned cop. So,
but not too much season. I mean, he's only 30
have
something.
A little grit.
I see the character more as someone who takes a lot of pride in himself. I mean, he's proud of who he is. He's proud of what he's done. He's proud of his family history. I mean, there's a lot of pride. So, I mean, he's going to reflect that in the way that he dresses. And he's going to dress with pride. I mean, yeah, he's going to be one of the ones who wants to wear the outfit and wants to be the best that he can.
Yeah, but is that going to push to the side of being cocky? Because, you know, one of the things we've talked about with this character is that she is going to be, you know, giving him hints and making it seem like it's his idea when he, you know, figures these things out. But is he going to be cocky about it?
Hang on.
I think Fez has an idea.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We got a yes or a no on that. We think he's a proud man, but that can also go to cocky. Did we put that down? General characteristic: is he a proud man? Does he take time in his appearance? Is he proud of his achievements? Is he
I say yes.
A proud man. Remember,
there's a difference between pride and hubris. He is proud of who he is.
He takes pride, but he's not a dick about it, I want to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so but he has self-esteem.
He is proud, but he is kind. Can we say that?
Sure.
Yeah, he remembers where he comes from. He's got some humility to him.
Yeah. I can't think of a good word for that, so I'm going to just put remembers where he came from.
Humility.
Yeah,
there we go.
Humility.
Honesty is having a true understanding.
I honestly see him, after the descriptions that we've given here, I see him as someone whose his goal is to be a G-man.
Well, I can see him as a little bit more organized. Maybe things are in neat order, stacks maybe? I don't know. Meticulous.
He can't be too meticulous, or
he wouldn't be missing the things that she's picking up.
Well, you can be meticulous and not see the forest through the trees.
There's the ability to keep things in order, and then there's the ability to see the details. He's not so far as a Felix Unger, where everything has to be in its place, everything has to be straight and clean. But he does have parts of that. He does prefer to keep things organized.
And sometimes that order
gets in the way.
Right.
So when she comes and she brings him his coffee and she puts it at the edge of the table, he moves it to the right-hand side.
Bingo.
Okay.
That's
when
it
worked. Yeah. So we're going to say he's by the rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Oh, so in his police work?
Yes.
Okay. Just jumping back to our waitress, as a counterpoint, are we going to make her more fast and loose, sort of? You know, just not organized. Messy.
We don't want too much of a counterpoint to that. I mean, maybe she's not as... she's going to be a little frumpy. That's the job.
Efficient.
I mean, long hours, long work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not standing tall after an 8-hour shift.
He's proud about who he is.
Make one of the tertiary characters the absolute slob. You know, there's always going to be that short order cook in the back. The one
who's
smoking and the ashes are falling in the hamburger. Let the tertiary character be the nasty, smelly, stinky one with the stain on his white T-shirt. Okay, I don't want to see her that way.
Okay,
can we solidify the detective before we go on break here?
Sure, Detective Joseph Mercy, 30th, 30-ish, possible connections. He is handsome, clean-shaven. He is a prideful guy, can tend to be cocky, but he is kind and humble. He has sort of a G-man, organized, meticulous way about him, and he is by the rules.
Sounds good.
Very good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here, and we'll see you on the other side. The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
All right, we're back, and what are we going to do? Tackle tertiary characters? What?
Okay, yep, we're going to do secondary characters.
Let's do secondary characters first.
What?
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing you are. Let's do our secondary before we get to the tertiary.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yep, and we're going to do these real quick. These are characters not going to be as well-developed, so we don't have to talk as much about them. We're going to try to give each one or two defining characteristics, and we can flesh them out later as we go along. We've already talked about one. We were talking about the cook. And we were saying that he was going to be messy, right?
Is that too cliche?
I want to stipulate one thing. I want the cook's name to be Vic.
Okay, Vic.
Ah, that was my first boyfriend. That's all right. We can still make him a slob cook. It is a little cliche, but I don't know, unless you really bring him into storylines, that tiny bit of cliche would matter.
Yeah. But about Jimmy the Busboy?
It may be cliche, but I mean, with what we were talking about with the cook, again, Vic Tayback, who played Mel on Alice, is exactly what comes to mind for the cook. He's cliche as heck, but he's exactly what we need for the cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're saying messy, gruff, sort of cook character. Anything else we want to have as a defining character for him, or we can add it later?
Well, we don't want to make him a complete slob, though, right? Do we kind of want to make him like kind of like the dirty, gritty, but, you know, he's kind of like the cool, the nice guy, I guess, maybe?
He shouldn't be disgusting.
Well, like, I don't want him to be a slob. Like which can be portrayed in that type of... It is a type of line cook type of archetype.
Well,
but
he's probably okay back in the kitchen, but then when he opens the back door and goes and smokes in the alley, he's probably really nasty. My big question is, how big is this diner? Is there going to be one more waitress?
Yes.
I think one more waitress as a confidant or as someone people can talk to who isn't sort of involved in the plot would be very helpful.
Well, she could be the counterpoint. She could be like the airheaded blonde.
You could make her really young, too.
The one that can,
actually,
be the comedic.
If you don't mind someone who's extremely sadistic in mind, for the second story, I mean, for the first story, let's make her a nice character, someone that people like. Now, she's actually the one that draws a lot more people in than our heroine. And then the second story, she gets killed.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, actually, it's a great idea. I mean, it's horrible, but it's a great idea.
It's a lot better than the original idea of you know, hey, we're going to come in and tell you that your dad's dead, and now you have to figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
Because I really still believe that we need to start off with these smaller cases at first and build up to bigger and more interesting cases. And,
I do like it as a plot line. I would say don't make them too close, though. You wouldn't want it to be her best friend, because then you're bringing in that overwhelming drama again. Right.
Yeah, their acquaintances. They work together, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So she's nice, a bit of an airhead, and we're going to snuff her later when we get around to it.
Yes, I like it.
In fact, why don't we have it? Our heroine, Bridget, or Pauline, or whatever, name her, is a little envious of her because she is a lot more outgoing and she's able to express herself so much easier. So she's a little envious of her.
She's a real pretty shade. She's a
Julia.
She's pretty. She's young. Yeah.
And never has runs in her home.
Delia, did you say?
Julia.
Julia. Oh, Julia's cute. And you can see her with the gum. Yeah.
Gum. Like the gum. All right.
Though the size of this diner is how I've been picturing it. You probably got the one cook, maybe two if it's like a really busy night, but typically I think just the one, two or three waitresses, including one behind the counter at all times, and possibly like one guy that, like the busboy and the cleanup guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how I've been picturing.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of thinking the busboy who doesn't speak a word of English, sort of thing.
Well, yeah,
well,
I was going to go there, too.
The pimply-faced 13 or 14-year-old.
Jimmy!
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, if he's not going to speak English, you've got to give him a really good ethnic name.
Jose.
Well, you know, at that time, this sounds probably you know, real stereotypical, but a busboy could have been an Oriental.
I was going to say, you'd be looking at
Asia. Or a black person.
Yeah.
So that could give you ties into the other parts of Chicago.
Yeah, right.
You know, to get into other stories and other neighborhoods, other things that could happen.
I would go with Oriental just because I don't want him speaking any words. I just like that idea.
And interestingly enough, they did studies. They've done all kinds of interesting things where a lot of times in communities that were mostly white, German and Irish in New York, Orientals would pretend to not speak English because then they weren't harassed. So it fits very well into it's historically accurate.
I think that's a good start for at least, you know, a first storyline drawn up, because we really don't have to make them speak or anything. The other characters that we're possibly going to have to deal with, there's going to be other patrons.
Mm-hmm.
They can just be average citizens. But our cop needs a boss or a partner.
I was just going to say, one of the secondary characters needs to be his partner.
Okay, so where is his partner when all of... Let me put it this way. Why is the partner not involved when he's solving all these crimes?
Who says he's not? I mean, we've got our clean-cut detective here. Our hero is, you know, straight arrow Dick Tracy. His partner, on the other hand, plays by different rules. He plays by the rules of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be a dirty cop, but he's doing it to survive.
What if we have this? What if he is a dirty cop, and our Joseph, our main character, knows he's a dirty cop and just tries to, whenever something is going on,
tries to
keep him out of it.
Which is why he's working in the diner.
Which makes sense.
He doesn't want him involved. He doesn't want to turn him in.
Right.
So because that goes against the blue line.
Well, yeah, then he loses his job.
Okay, so he's dirty. Is he a nice guy? Is he dirty, but he's generally a nice guy? Is he a jerk?
I think it's simpler than that.
Storyline in the future where he's dirty because he's been framed.
Yeah.
So let's set
blackmailed
that up.
Blackmailed in
vaguely.
Some way. He needs the money.
Yeah,
I was thinking the other way around.
That he got himself into a situation, and that may be a future mystery for us to deal with later. But let's make that really vague. But we just do need to keep him as a dirty cop. But I think overall he's probably still a good guy.
Weak-willed, easily manipulated, which is why he's in that situation.
Nope.
Okay.
Because he's had threats against his family, his wife, his kids. Who knows what the situation is?
Let me toss this forward.
Okay.
His partner, one of the reasons for conflict isn't just that he's a dirty cop. He's Italian. And in the police forces, there was a lot of rivalry between the Irish cops and the Italian cops.
Yeah.
Exactly. And with the Italian mobs beginning on the rise in the 20s, he's got family connections as well. But whereas Murphy is history of cops in his family, this guy is tied to the mafioso.
But you know what? That's going to mean that they have to be in a certain district of Chicago to be able to do that. Because if you recall, Chicago had these neighborhood districts, and it would have to be one of those districts that sits between an Italian district and an Irish district. And we're going to have to do a little history to research that and make sure that's, you know, pretty correct. Because most of the time, you're going to have an Irish police force dealing with an Irish district, and then you're going to have an Italian police force dealing with an Italian district.
Right.
So, well, who's to say that he wasn't brought in by a dirty commissioner
to
keep an eye
inside.
On Murphy?
Yep.
Okay, brings the next question up. What's our commissioner like? What's our mayor and commissioner like?
Crooked as all get out.
Yep.
Commissioner Crooked.
So we're not going to have Commissioner Gordon, who's this wonderful guy
he's rooting for the mob. Yeah,
he's on the mob's payroll. I mean, he isn't rooting for him. He's rooting for whoever pays him the most.
Nice.
So the commissioner is crooked and slimy, where the partner is is crooked but a good guy.
Crooked for survival, right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Rather than crooked by intent.
And our mayor, he's just not involved. He's purely political.
Purely political.
Okay, he's a politician.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on. Let's call some history.
And he's looking out trying to save his own skin.
Always.
Mayor of Chicago.
He's whoever. He's...
Here we go. 1927, William Hale Thompson. Thompson should be mentioned. He should not be a character.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that gives a little bit more authenticity to the story, because that immediately places it in the time period. William Hale Thompson is the mayor. Anybody who looks it up will see that's 1923 to 1927. So we've got our time period cinched.
Okay.
Perfect.
Oh,
the commissioner... Rather than the commissioner, let's make it the precinct captain.
Yeah.
Who brought in his partner. That way we don't have to go and research the commissioner either.
On the same note, how many districts were there? And then we should pick a district that is one more so that we have our own district to worry about and not have to worry about accuracy.
That's actually a great idea. Just grab a fully fictional district.
Our district is total plus one.
Yes.
That's a good description.
All right, so we've got, and it's also, are we saying it is an Irish Italian border district?
Yes.
Yeah.
Border districts sucked. A lot of people died, so we have plenty of cases to go on.
All right. So we got our captain, we got our partner, we got our commissioner. Is there anyone else, any of our police officers we want to talk about at this point?
We need some plainclothes in there as well. Because there should be two or three regular cops who go into the diner, and maybe some members of the mafia, maybe it's the diner is where they get their payoffs, because it's a nice, safe place there on the border.
For a future storyline, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not even a future storyline. This should be background. I mean, it bothers Murphy to sit there and see them openly taking bribes. But he can't do anything about it.
Murphy's got to have some friends, because right now it all seems like everyone's kind of against him at this point. I mean, he has to have some cop friends.
Well, I mean, his partner is his friend. He just can't trust him.
It would be nice if he could trust somebody that just wasn't a friend.
Yeah. If he's a good Catholic boy, his best friend's going to be the local priest.
Bingo.
Confessor. He's going to go drink coffee with his good old priest buddy.
Okay, I come from a long line of Irish Catholics, and we're not friends with the priest.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
The priest does need to be a secondary character.
You sin all week and you only see the priest on Sunday.
Really? That's not how I grew up in St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Wow. We were always eating and, talking.
Maybe we're just bad apples.
And look how you turned out today. No, just kidding.
I know. I went to school and everything and had the little plaid uniforms and the little knee socks. Oh, my word. Oh, yeah.
Anna, but your knuckles got wrapped more than once, didn't they?
I'm not going there.
All right, so, Father...
Anyway. We're getting distracted here.
So, we need a Father Bailey or something?
Tertiary character.
Yeah, I mean, let's just put down Priest and think about him for a minute.
Okay.
For a friend, how about just the old cop? The cop that's been there forever.
His former partner.
Mentor?
I'm thinking just the old beat cop, the cop that never really made detective, probably wasn't smart enough to make detective. He's a good guy, but he's a beat cop.
Bitter about it.
He probably knows a lot
Sean
of stuff.
The Sean Connery character over in The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know
the old streetwise cop.
And you know what we also need? We need at least one bum who sits in that poor diner and everyone buys him food for him because they feel sorry for him. You know, there's always that one half-drunken bum in every diner.
Yep.
You know, the people that you see at 4 a.m. at Denny's. We need at least one drunken bum.
Well, I don't know if it's a drunken bum. It's we need a norm, someone who is always in the diner. Do we want to make him the drunken bum? Is that what we want?
Not necessarily. To do?
We should definitely call him Norm, though.
I've used that gag already with Drop World.
We
need the one guy who is there. We can probably make this the guy who knows everything that's going on because he's always there. He's not particularly smart, but he knows the waitress, he knows the cops, he knows everything that goes on. He's not going to say anything, but if anyone asked him, he could tell them everything that's happening.
Right.
An Emperor Nelson type. He's not a bum. Well, he's a bum, and he's slightly mad. But he also sees things that other people are going to miss because he is the one who has that skewed perceptive, that perception.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
The one that she can pick his brain on occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not smart, but he's been everywhere.
Right. You know, give him an air of foppishness, of broken foppishness. You know, he wears a very fancy jacket that somebody who is rich threw out. He wears a top hat. So he appears like a bum in fancy clothes. And he has the airs of, hold on. I got to check my dates because I'm not quite sure about something.
Well, and I like the idea, too, that, you know, she's intelligent enough to know that just because he's a little cracked, he's still valuable.
Okay, that blows that. Yeah. Dang it.
The only other person I can think of would be maybe an owner of the diner or like an even older counter girl that's been there forever that even could be the owner. But that's like the only other character I think that would be missing, at least from the diner.
Well, we talked about having her be the actual owner of the diner. So
right.
if we go with that route, the owner, quote-unquote, would have to be a front man, so it would have to be a friend of their family.
Nope.
Yeah, I almost like a fictitious owner.
Nobody ever sees.
I don't think we.
No one sees him. The waitress occasionally talks about him, but I don't think he exists. But I don't think we ever have to really address that.
I like that. Robin Masters.
For those who remember the Magnum PI show, Robin Masters was the writer whose estate Magnum lived on. And nobody knew if he was real or not, if Higgins was actually impersonating him or whatever. He needs to be Robin Masters. He doesn't exist, but people talk about him all the time. You know, we know he doesn't exist, but people talk about meeting him or having lunch with him just because it gives him a little bit more air.
I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. And we also, one more, we talked about the father as sort of this overshadowing figure of the waitress.
Oh, yeah.
actually, talking about the father, there was one other thing that caught to mind. What if we make our lead character, name her Bridget Pauline? You know, her father is Irish, which is where the Bridget comes from. Her mother was an immigrant from France. Yep, American story.
Yeah. That's actually kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a
we
good
get both
way
our names.
Well, often, I mean, you know, we're talking about a time frame where a lot of people did not use first names. So, I mean, in this case, it would be a lot of Miss Pauline this, Miss Pauline that.
Mm-hmm. Except with the area, she would probably go by Bridget being an Irish name as opposed to Pauline. You know, play up her Irish heritage in an Irish district.
Right.
Yeah.
That can work.
Okay.
I think we got a good solid cast of characters here. A good foundation to work from.
How are we doing on time for Fess?
We're pretty much at the end of our session here.
Okie doke.
So this is probably a good spot to stop.
I feel like we accomplished something here.
We did. Yes, indeed. And
we have characters.
Do we want to punch out some more details not on the show and like what we should have done last time?
Yep. People were bad with their homework assignments this week. We have a blog set up. And if people could just write a little bit, sort of get a feel for the story, see how it feels, and try to see how these characters interact, and get a feel for it. Hopefully next time we meet, we can actually get the story written and actually start talking about the plot and the twists. One thing we haven't dealt with in our characters yet is the villain, which we will have to talk about when we actually get to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But get a feel for the characters and post something on the blog.
Yeah, for our
it's wcbrain.blogspot.com.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, well, thanks, everyone, for coming again with us. We shall meet again on the on the Webcomic Beacon next month. In the meantime, Eric, Gathia, Tom, thanks for coming.
All right, thanks. Good night.
Having us.
Would you like to get involved with the Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Special thanks to Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com for being our announcer, and also thanks to Brian Lake for providing music for the Webcomic Beacon. For those of you who have been paying attention to the site, you may have noticed we were looking for a new resident webcomic reviewer. So far, we've gotten at least three people who have expressed some interest in this, and right now, we're going to play one by Mark S. of AutumnLake.com.
Hello, Mark Savory here with a webcomic review. Today, I want to make you acquainted with a webcomic that I absolutely love. I adore this webcomic. I kid you not. It's a little something called The Chronicles of Saltaire by Enzes and Stone, the only names the creators give. Saltaire is a long-form comic about a girl and her dog who stumble into a magic portal and find themselves trapped in a magic kingdom. There's a man-with-no-name-type sorcerer who helps them out, and a prince who wants to outlaw magic because he doesn't have any of his own. He's the bad guy. Do I love this comic because of the fantastic artwork? Well, no. Are the concepts so new and original that they break new ground in the medium? Well, no. Is the writing consistent and mature and a joy to read? But not really. Are there really amazing, original characters no. No, I love this webcomic because it does just about everything wrong. So, why would I love that? Well, we all know webcomics that we really like, ones that inspire us with fantastic art or writing or characters or ideas or whatever. But sometimes you can learn a lot more by seeing how not to do something. And that's where Saltaire comes in, because Saltaire commits almost every one of the main webcomic sins, save introducing the comic with a gag about how the characters are in a webcomic. What webcomic sins am I talking about? Well, first off is the premise, which we've seen a zillion times before in one form or another. When it's done really well, it's called Between Two Worlds, but there's no new spin on it here. The Magic Kingdom doesn't seem all that mysterious or interesting. Part of that's the artwork, speaking of which, well, I won't go too much into that other than to say most of it looks as if it were drawn by a kid in a high school study hall. The art is done in pencil and ballpoint pen. There are a few nice panels, but mostly the artwork is lacking a true knowledge of anatomy, movement, perspective, you name it. In Saltaire, there's little or no character development. Characters behave in ways that almost defy common sense, sort of the webcomic equivalent of teenagers in a movie, fleeing deeper into the woods and hiding in a scary cabin to escape a homicidal killer, and we all know how that works out. Things in Saltaire seem to happen for no reason and with no explanation, such as the dog somehow transmogrifying into a humanoid werewolf with a complete understanding of the English language and opposable thumbs, just by crossing through this magic portal, which has no effect on the girl other than to turn her eyes blue. The pacing is choppy too, as if, another webcomic sin, the creators were in a hurry to get to the exciting parts of the story without building a proper foundation for them. Still another sin is that the comic has no regular update schedule. There are parts of the archives with a whole month going by without anything more than one new page, and that's just not enough. There are some interesting elements, such as the use of color in a black and white comic, noticeably in the character's eyes and whenever magic is being used. And once the story gets going, you actually sort of want to see what happens next. But you'd be disappointed there, too. Because after putting in 2 years' worth of effort, the creators appear to have committed the greatest webcomic sin of all. They have abandoned their webcomic. The last update, at any rate, was in August of last year. But you should make a point to read it right from page one before it disappears, especially if the creators listen to this. But I hope they never take it down. Chronicles of Saltaire is such a great learning tool for webcomickers, especially new ones, because it provides us with examples of what to avoid in our own work. So Enzes and Stone have really done the webcomic community a service, whether they want to hear it that way or not. And I will say this in their defense. There are some good ideas here, they're just not very well developed. Once the team brushes up on the artwork and writing skills, learns better pacing and characterization in their storytelling, then this may be a very good candidate for a restart, one that I might be likely to read, especially after seeing the original to compare it with. So check it out at saltaire.comicgenesis.com. That's saltaire.comicgenesis.com. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
Thank you, Mark, for your submission. And again, there are two other people that are also interested, and we're just going to wait till I get their submissions and hopefully have a new one for you next week. We're going to see how well they gel with the show and see what you, the listeners, think about them. Next week, we at the Webcomic Beacon might be taking a little bit of a break. It all depends on what's going to be happening. But I'm going to try to make sure that there's at least something here for you guys to download next week. It might be something on webcomic guest art and guest strips, something I pre-recorded with Aaron of tbullcomic.com. Otherwise, what else do we have in our plans, Tanya?
I think what we have are a couple tentative shows, Jenny Everywhere and Webcomic Reviewing.
All right, got to solidify a bunch of times with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. Oh, yes.
Let's see if we can get some interviews and things coming up.
Yeah, we got to get some more interviews. We usually try to tailor interviews with people that are a little bit more recognized through some people. I mean, if you got like 10 strips, we're probably not going to interview you. you can try out to submit your comic for a webcomic impression by Aaron Edwards, which I gotta like take the whip to him and like have him do more. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. They're funny.
Yeah, they are.
And two is very short.
Yeah, they're very short, but that's what an impression is—a quick little something or other. And we have a couple of webcomics that are hitting milestones in the next couple of days after this airs. Life and Death, which you can find on Drunk Duck. They're going to be hitting 500 strips in the next couple of days, I think. And there's a really cool storyline going on right now. And, you know, a bit of an archive, but it's a really fun strip. I recommend it for people who like fun strips. And there's also another... Oh, yeah, finally, there's this one comic that will finally be hitting their milestone in the next couple of days. And this is the one that had told me for like weeks ago, this weekly updating strip. If all goes to plan, they should be uploading their 400th comic strip on Sunday. And Sunday the 30th.
Sunday.
The comic is It's Dead Days by John Rios. That's a weekly comic strip, and it updates at deaddays.net. There you have it.
Congratulations on your milestones. If you know of a comic that has recently hit an X hundredth strip or has been updating for X years, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Moving on to stripfight.org. Let's see here. The round 149 had been voted on. Right now, this week, you have time to vote on round 150, which is Easter Egg. There are 8 submissions. There's some really good ones this week, actually. Some a little disturbing. But of course, since, you know, the way they have their deadlines and the way that the Webcomic Beacon, you know, comes up with stuff, their deadline is on March 31st.
Next Monday.
Yep, next Monday. And the theme is 3 wishes. Now, I'm going to try to submit something for this because I talk about it, and I should submit something. And I have been getting back into the drawing groove. If anybody knows me from other stuff that I've done, I had done a Jenny Everywhere comic that was supposed to go along with the 2007 Crossover Wars, which we'll probably end up talking about on another show completely. Basically, it was a mega multi-comic webcomic crossover event, and I was doing a Jenny Everywhere supplement that was going along in the background, kind of, sort of, and I got totally burnt out and I didn't finish it, but I am in the midst of finishing it. I have been drawing, I've been inking, I've been writing, and I'm going to be crossing over or just borrowing the characters, we haven't decided yet, from Joff's Life and Death webcomic, which is on Drunk Duck, which, you know, Drunk Duck / Life and Death. There might be underscores in there. We'll get that in the show links. Chaos is going to be meet Jenny Everywhere, and when I get them done, I'm not gonna have them come out. They're going to be all out at once, because it's like 5 months late.
Yeah.
So a little bit. So there's that. Let's see, what else do we got? What else do we got? Well, that's it. Oh, I do want to say we had CD Rudd back with the Gigcast crew when we were talking about webcomic podcasting. I meant to go on the 910 CMX webcomic talk show, conversation show that they were going to have, but it turned out like they record on Thursday nights, and that's when the Infendo.com has their Super Smash Brothers Brawl online fight night. And I also got called into work that Thursday as well. So I'm going to really try to be on there Thursday. You can check out the 910 CMX podcast. We got a link in our show notes for it. Otherwise, you could Google it and you could pretty much find it. I'm going to try to be on there this Thursday. And as usual, you can always listen to the Gigcast at nightgig.gigcast.com, and there's also Art and Story, which is really good to listen to, and they also do, as far as I hear, something on TalkShoe where people can listen in and I think participate in their conversations as well. So you guys can check that out in our show links. I think that's all we have to do. We got to get out of here.
I think you're right.
All right, well, that's all for this week for the Webcomic Beacon. Tune in next week for at least a little something, if not more, hopefully. This has been Fess.
And this is Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Oh, shoot, I didn't record any of that.
No.
I'm just kidding. April Fools.
You're just trying to make me curse again. Bastard.